right, good morning. Glad you made it. Happy All Saints Day. So just to let you know, Hallowed Eve, Halloween, really is the eve before All Saints Day. And so back throughout history, you would follow the church calendar. And so this is the day where you celebrate all the saints. Or I was telling Lowry, if you were Roman Catholic, you'd worship the saints. And now we don't worship the saints, we worship with the saints. And so it's the day to remember all the people that God has called, and that's worshiping with God now, and we're worshiping together. And so the eve of All Saints Day was Hallowed Eve, and somehow it's turned into a celebration of just death, not the resurrection part, but we celebrate the resurrection part. So happy All Saints Day. And but that's what Halloween's all about. If you didn't know that, now you do. You're welcome. Better than candy. Maybe. But anyway, we're glad you're here. That's just my warm-up before we start. Let's ask God to bless us and our time of worship. Father, thanks for loving us. Thank you for calling us saints, that it's really by the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit that is calling us to yourself and making us holy, making us the saints. And we thank you for that, and we worship you today, and we ask that you would calm our hearts and our minds, heal up all of our cuts and bruises emotionally and physically, and all of our fears and anxieties. We bring them to you, Lord, and we say, save us, heal us, help us. And it's the people of faith that you call righteous. And so we have faith that you care and that you have the power and the love to do these things. So we rest in you and worship you for that and praise you. We ask that you'd be blessed in our service. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's, on page D, just begin by receiving, confessing, and then receiving God's forgiveness. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do, is to rest in the fact that you are actually forgiven. It's hard to rest in that, and it's a work of the Spirit. And so that's what we're trying to engage here, is to have a moment in our week where we go, I am forgiven. But here's the way you're forgiven. Let's read it together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. All right. Well, receive God's forgiveness before I move on. I almost wanted to move on. See, that's what the nature does. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you. And it's for his sake he forgives all your sins. And as a called and ordained minister and a servant of Christ and by his authority, he wants you to hear this. God says, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Breathe in deeply and trust the forgiveness of Christ. Let's sing. And we'll be reading today from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12, and then we'll go to 1 Thessalonians after that. But Matthew chapter 23, verse 1 through 12 on page 483, if you're following along. So page 483, Matthew chapter 23. And as we settle into this, let me just pray real quick. Merciful and gracious Lord, you cause your word to be proclaimed in every generation. Stir up our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit that we may receive this proclamation with humility and finally be exalted at the coming of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Matthew 23, these are the words, we'll get into the words of Jesus. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers, sisters. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." It's the word of God. Thanks be to God. So Jesus talking about leadership. It's pretty good for an election season. He just gave you what to look for and who to vote for. The most humble. Uh-oh, looks like Jesus is the answer again. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. We continue working our way through this, through the works of Paul, who's one of the first pastors writing to churches. We'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 12. Again, page 574. "Finally then, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lusts like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. And put on your listening caps, and to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your hands as we instructed you so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Today, God is getting very specific with you. We're telling you, today I'm going to be telling you exactly what to do. I know exactly what you should do right now. I know exactly what you should do tomorrow. Listen to me. I'm telling you what you should do. I'm quoting the great old song, "Walk this way, talk this way, give me a kiss." Like, this is what you always want. You want to go, "I just wish I knew what to do. I just knew what was the right thing to do." Here it is today. Are you ready for it? Yeah, until I don't like it. I'm actually going to tell you what to do, what you should do. This is God's plan for you. Just like a doctor would say to you, "You need to do these three things, take this medicine." Or a dentist would say, "Yeah, you probably should floss every day." Or a plumber would say, "Yeah, this is going to flood your house." Those things tell you what to do, right? They're saying, "Okay, I should do them." And you can do them or not. And if you don't do them, you can't be that surprised by the outcome. The most classic is you don't floss. Then you floss 3 days before the dentist, you bleed a lot, you're messing it, it hurts, and you're scared. You should be. You did the right things to be scared of the dentist and to hurt your gums. You didn't floss, and then you floss. That's all it is. It's not a mystery. It's not like, oh, God. It's just that's how he's created the universe and holds it together. And so Paul is saying to this church, they're being persecuted. Paul's being persecuted. They're also trying to figure out the end times, like is Jesus coming back? And so at the, we'll get to this, but I'm telling you the end first here because I need you to hear it. Paul says to them, you're already saved. You love Jesus. Jesus loves you. Live quietly. Don't be so overzealous to, I got to impact the world and I got to change everything and I got to do this. And that's what our world's saying now. Like, you're nothing if you don't make your life count. Our God says, you don't have to be like that. Live quietly. Whew, I can do that. Or can I? Because the next one, mind your own business. Can you do that? Work with your own hands so that the Lord can provide for you, so you, that you're not illegitimately dependent on others, where it's like, I need help. You have a God who provides for you. This is the way we're going to go. So let's get there. First of all, in this letter, remember, we have to do this because we're going to, when I'm telling you what to do, I've almost never done it to you. I've never said, here's what you do other than trust Jesus. But now you're old enough and you're ready to hear, like, you have some responsibilities. But here's how it works. The law curbs behavior. So it's like, don't do that. It shows you you're messed up. Sometimes you're like, oh, I messed up. I need to fix my hair. But the law also becomes a guide. And it says, here's how you want to walk. You're already submitted to Jesus, trusting Jesus. So there's a point where the law is a good, it's a good guide. And that's where Paul is today. I want you to know, here's the stuff you actually do because you believe this, because Christ has worked in you. So you're already saved by faith in Christ. And so that's where Paul is going right here. Now I can say to you, because you're not going like, am I saved or not saved? You're saved. So now I can say to you, there is a right path for your life. I couldn't say that before. Because you'd put all your faith in the path and say, what do I do? How do I say? But there is a right path. Paul says, finally, brothers, sisters, we ask and we urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of God for you. There is a path. The will, the word for God's will is his wish. His wish list for Christmas. His wish list for you. Just like I have a wish list for my kids that they do this, that they, he has that for you. He has a path for your future. Not like a robot path, like you'll do this and then you'll say that. No, there's freedom. But he has like a general idea where it's like, I want my kids to be happy. I'd love for them to get married and have babies. And I have grandbabies and great-grandbabies. Like that would be my... a great plan that I could provide for my kids. That's my plan. God has a similar will and plan for you. And he says, here it is. We urge you to walk in it. What is it? The right path is faith in Christ. But even more specifically, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. You have to understand this word. Your sanctification is what God is hoping for and investing in you as a parent. He's not forcing it on you. He's working it in you. That's what we did last week. He says the word of God is at work in you. Your faith is believing that God is working. His Holy Spirit's at work in you. This word of God is working in you. You don't always see it, but just like a child doesn't know, the little cow doesn't know, like, I'm teething right now, and I'm going to learn to eat steak one day. He doesn't know that, and either do you. You don't know what God's doing it, but when you put yourself under the word of God and the sacraments, you have faith that he's working on you. He's sanctifying you, which is a word for holiness. And the plural form of it is the saints. And so the will of God, the path for you, is on this path of sanctification where you're becoming holy, you're becoming set apart, you're getting rid of the death in you, rid of the sin, rid of all the destruction that sin brings, all the sadness and anxiety and fear. He's slowly growing you out of it. And it begins by putting your faith in Christ. So now your soul is going to, it's already, the resurrection's already begun. But there's a process, a walking of sanctification. And that's where he calls us to himself. He says, I call you. In verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Now, I skipped the very clear will of God. So what is the actual expressed will of God for you today? In the Bible, very clear. Abstain from sexual immorality. From fornication. Any sex outside of a commitment, a lifelong ridiculous commitment of marriage. That's where sex, God created sexual intimacy for people. Because it's safe, it's wonderful, it's creative, it's all these great, wonderful things. Outside, that's not God's wish for you. Because outside of marriage, you're taking something that connects you and you're connecting to someone else you're not committed to. You're getting all their garbage, all their fears and all their curses and all their stuff. By the way, when you become one, whether you intend it or not, God's like, I made it this way, and it's my will that you not become one with death, but one with me and one with who I've connected you to be with. And so he says, the very true will of God, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And so what happens is, this is just the big one. So I just want to be clear, it's big. Because we live in a culture, it's not that big a deal. And in a Christian culture where we're like, what are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. For the people inside my family, I'm going to go, what are you doing? The people outside my family, I'm going to go, whatever. I'm not responsible for you. But I'm responsible for my kids. And I'll be responsible for you. So when we find out, we'll say, stop it. You connect to this body, not some other body that has no life in it. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? Remember where God found them? He found them behind the bush, naked, ashamed, and they were just going to worship God on their own in nature. Right? They're just going to be like, I'm not going back to God and walk with him in the garden. I'm going to hide over here. And what does God do? He calls them. He says, Adam, Eve, where are you? See, that's gracious and kind. He's being gracious to them, like, where are you? I'm giving you a chance to come to me. I'm calling you to myself. And he calls them into his holiness. But they've now sinned. They've now made themselves, they've aligned themselves with death. And so they're scared, but God calls them to himself. This is the path. God calls us, even in our sin, to come out of the bushes, covering up our nakedness and shame, and come to him. This is all God wants. He's just gathering us around his word, around his body, around his presence, saying, come out of the shame and the anger and the guilt and be forgiven. Repent and believe. This is the path, and really the way of the path that we go down. Now you need to listen to this. I'm going to say some passages, and I'm just telling you, it would not be a waste of your time to memorize these and hide them on your heart. It would benefit you greatly if you're interested in life. If you're interested in being upset and angry and mad, then don't do this. But if you want life, and you want to know where to put your mind, then I would memorize verses like this. 1 Corinthians 13, the love passage. Especially 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Listen to what love is. This is the path Christ is sanctifying you for. Love is patient. Patient. Let it soak into your mind right now. Love is kind. Kindness. I'm going to overlook sins. I'm going to be kind and patient with you. Love does not envy. Oh, I wish that was me. I wish that does not boast. I told you this would happen. We love to boast in a weird negative way. I told you we'd all die. I was right. Does not boast. See? It is not arrogant. You're wrong. I'm right. It's not rude. This is the Bible. It does not insist on its own way. Do it this way. It is not irritable. Woo! That's hitting home. Oh, I'm so sick of this. Shut up, Adam. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. There they go again. They're never going to change. I don't care. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Good for you, girl. Steal more money from your work. I don't know. I was trying to think of how you rejoice in wrongdoing. I don't know. But love, so love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful. When you feel all those things, that's just your temperature. Boop. That's just your temperature saying something's wrong. I'm not on the right path. God didn't create me to be miserable and angry and boastful and like, and defending all the time and justifying myself. He created me to do this, to rejoice with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love goes on and on and on. And I love that it says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Because you just let that go by your head. But this is the problem we have with each other. I have to bear all things. I have to bear your behavior. Love bears with the person. Love believes that they'll change, even though we'll say to one another, they'll never change. That's just how they are. I can't believe. I believe that God can change. I hope that they'll change. I hope that things will change. I endure the fact that they don't change because love never ends. And so I'm called to this path of being sanctified as a path of God being patient. And that's the beauty of this passage. That's why you need to memorize it. Because God's patient and kind and bears all things and hopes all things and believes all things for you. Thank God. And it never ends. We have a limit. We have an expiration date on ours. I'm done. We hit the date. You're gross. God doesn't. And this is what he's working in us. There's a path of love. And so the most gross sin, he says, look, don't fall into the lusts of the world and use each other and abuse something like sexuality. That's the big one. But really, the will of God is that you've been called into his holiness, his purity. It says it twice, in holiness and honor. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness, and that path is love. But like any good path, we have a guide. So walk this way. Trust the Lord. He forgives you. Jesus is all holy and he gives his love to you. So now pick your head up and follow the guide. And this is where he says, I really like this verse. Verse 8. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. God's given us a guide now, the Holy Spirit. And so when we disregard his word and we say, whatever, that's a cool opinion. Don't have sex outside of marriage. Cool opinion. Go to church. Love God. Cool opinion. I don't think that works for me. Paul says, look, we aren't just disregarding man. You're not disregarding Adam or Matt or each other by saying, yeah, I'm not going to do that. You are disregarding God. You're saying your rules aren't good. I think I figured it out, God. I just want you all to know that so that you can repent and be comforted by him and not destroyed by him. God is the avenger. He's just. He's not going to let murder and death on his kids go. He will avenge it. So have a little fear of God. So at least just say, I don't know about that yet, God. Get to the core of your problem, which is, why don't I want to follow you? Now he'll work with you. But if you just disregard it as, oh, that's what they're saying, that's what they're saying, there's no comfort for you. Yet the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And so he says, the guide that you have is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is filling you now, and he will guide you. And where the Holy Spirit is guiding you is this path of love, the washing and regeneration, the path of being patient and loving one another. This is the path. There's a difference between a guide and a prison guard, right? Think about that. What's the difference between a guide and a prison guard? Because the law of God, like, don't murder. Murder is anger. You have anger in your heart, you've murdered. That's what Jesus says. Well, that could be like a prison guard, like, don't do this, don't do that. Or it can be a guide. What's the difference? Well, one person's in prison, and the other person is paid to be with this guide, right? Like, have you ever been on a guided tour, a guided something? I once rode horses in Guatemala. They got locals, and they led us through these amazing trails. I mean, I didn't even know how to ride a horse. The only thing that helped me was that we had Bambi, my pug, which helped me, like, be calm around animals. So I was on this giant horse, and we're going through a trail. We have a guide, and then I have a boy, a little, like, 12-year-old boy with a stick hitting my horse. I'm watching the horse in front of me. That I chose to be there. When you're guided, you're choosing to be there. You're like, this is amazing. Where's the guide taking us? And you know you're out of your league. That's why you have a guide. After salvation, you have a guide, the Holy Spirit. You've chosen to be there. You want to be there. He's leading you. The horse is carrying you somewhere. Before, you couldn't go anywhere. Now you can. But you have some things to do on the horse. You have to pull this way to go left, pull that way to go right, pull this way to stop. And then mostly you just go, oh, help, because we're going down all these treacherous things. I saw the horse in front of me. Its legs slip on mud, and there's like a cliff 3 feet away. This is Guatemala. There aren't like safety rails. There's not. I mean, if I fell off, they'd all just look at each other and go, huh? Gringo, gone. Like, that's it. But I trust the guide. I trust that they know the trails. And I'm pulling and I hold up and I'm like, ah, ah. And you can have confidence. There are people in our group that had great confidence. And you could have no confidence like me going, ah, trying to make jokes. Like, mine keeps going to the bathroom. Ah, I'm going to the bathroom. It doesn't matter how you feel, but you have a guide. Now, people in prison have a guard. The guide leads you to freedom. So on that trip, I saw beautiful landscapes. I was like taking coffee beans off these things on a horse and like just going, wow, this is amazing. Super scary, but we had a guide. Without the Holy Spirit, you are in prison and you have a guard. And the law is always saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And so even with the Bible, it used to be a law to me, like growing up, I need to read my Bible. Oh, I feel bad. I don't read my Bible, oh, but I better do it. And I did it sometimes, and then I failed, and then I felt guilty. And all. That's a guard telling you what to do, and that's not bad. You need, sometimes you need that. Here's what's right or wrong. But what I'm telling you is the Holy Spirit will lead you and start changing that law into a guide, and it's awesome. He starts working harder. You get to enjoy it, but it's accessed by going, I submit to you, Holy Spirit. You're going to be my guide. I'm not going to let my own thoughts guide me. I'm not going to let the culture guide me. I'm not going to put my hope in all these other things that change all the time. I'm going to be anchored in the Word of God, which endures forever. And so you have a guide. I just want to read, this is similar to 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. In Titus 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, I'll just read parts of it. It's where you're being prepared for every good work. He says, speak evil of no one. This is where the guide is leading you. Avoid quarreling. Be gentle. Show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The Holy Spirit has washed you. He's washing you. He's leading you. Push into that. Push into that and say, God, I want to walk in this love. Put this in your mind. The hours of news, the hours of the world's ideas, which will be different in 3 weeks from now, try to combat it. God can use 3 seconds of his word to combat millions of hours of the world, but at least give it a shot to overwhelm what's producing fear and anger and division. Like, that's all that's produced. Give the Holy Spirit a shot and say, yeah, I want to memorize this verse. I need to be more loving. Forgive me for not being loving. Thank you for loving me. I trust that you're working in me to love. The Holy Spirit is doing it. So there's a path. There is right and wrong. There's a guide. It's the Holy Spirit. And then finally, there's a destination he's leading us to every day. It's not just a destination of heaven. That, of course, is our final destination. We're happy. It's not heaven. It's not, actually. The new creation is our final destination. So that's great. But the path and the guide are leading you somewhere every day. Every day there's available for you life. That's where, back to Thessalonians, he says, again, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do this more and more. You love the Lord. I'm talking to this room. You love Jesus. You trust him. You're praying to him. Do this more and more. Push into what God's doing. But here's where we urge you more and more. Live quietly. Thank God for everything he's given you every day. Thank him. You had food. You have shelter. The people around you, there might be rioting. There might be craziness all in the news. But look around your neighborhood. How's it going? Oh, focus on what's true. Give thanks. Give thanks. Live quietly. I love it when he says, mind your own affairs. That's going against the whole world is saying we have to change everybody's hearts around us. For what purpose? I don't know. So that we all agree? We all agree. Diversity is where it's at. No, think like me. I don't know. I don't know. It's so confusing. Mind your own business. If you have a problem with someone, pray for them, talk to them. But mind your own business. We don't need to be the ones solve everybody else's problem, and we're not the ones called to fix them. Jesus fixes. Holy Spirit creates. He'll guide. There's a path. Work with your hands. I was thinking, does anybody work? And I'm like, oh no, especially all you computer people. You're using your hands. But work. That he created us to be fruitful and multiply and to put your mind and your efforts to serving people somewhere. That's how we're created. Work with your hands. Don't be illegitimately dependent. You know? Don't just look to a government that's bribing you with your own tax money. It's taken from you, and it's like, we'll give it to you if you're good. That's the system of the world. And then you look to God. He'll provide for you. And where he doesn't, you're in a family, brothers and sisters. We try to help each other, but we look to God. This is the will of God. Walk this way. Aspire to this. Put on, as Colossians chapter 3 says, think about, put on like a wardrobe as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate heart. Imagine what a compassionate heart looks like in today's world. kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There. You have enough to do now. That's minding your own business. Look at that list in Colossians 3 and go through it. Compassionate heart. Oh, dear God. I have the opposite of compassion. I'm angry. Why can't they think like this? How dare they? Kindness. Humility. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He says this. He's told us what to do. And yet we, in our own nature, want to go about everybody else's business. We want to talk about people outside of the church and judge them. Who cares? I don't expect any famous person who doesn't love Jesus to act like a Christian. I'm not surprised by corruption. You shouldn't be either, of course. You were corrupt before you met Jesus. You would steal and take advantage before you met Jesus. Of course they are. But what we care about is right here. Here's the path. We love each other, the people God's putting in front of you. You're honest with them. We sing songs in our hearts. We give thanks to God. There's so much to be thankful for. Spend your days trying to find what God's provided for you and give him thanks. Spend your days trying to praise him. Learn how to praise him and say, you're God. You're perfect in power and love. You don't play politics. You're not deceived. Praise him and say, praise God. And then let all your requests be made known to him. Say, God, I'm freaking out right now. He can handle it. Why am I freaking out? Because I think I have to control everything, and I want people to like me, and I want the world to be right, and I'm scared. And he goes, right, I take away all that fear, and I replace it with faith in a God who's promised, told us to walk this way, talk this way, give me a kiss. Literally. He says, come to me. Walk this way. So, as we enter this week and the world changes or doesn't change, pursue Christ. Say, God, I need you to anchor me. Whether we find out who's going to be president on Wednesday or in 5 years from now, who knows? Jesus is our king. And we pray for good government, whatever that means to you. And I don't even care. Like, I mean, I kind of care, but I can't. I have to be compassionate, loving, humble, kind, all these things. And I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, thanks for saving us. At the end of the day, we are the church. Walk this way, not because you have to, but because Christ has invited you to, and he's guiding you to. It's pleasing to him, but you know, it's also pleasing for you. At the end of the day, if you've worshiped and thanked and loved too much, it'll be sweet. You'll fall asleep. The end of the day. Try it. Not because you have to. I'm not coercing you to follow God. I'm saying this is your guide. This is who you have. He loves you. He's bringing you into a life of love. Love one another. So thank God for your quiet life and that he's provided for it. Well, that's what we need to work on this week. Believe it. But when I say believe it, I'm like, every day, I'll just be honest, you wake up with fear, wake up with anxiety, wake up with trying to justify yourself. I did it right. I've done it. And the sooner you just go, Lord, you are the one. I'm not called to be right and everyone else to be wrong. I'm called to trust you. You're righteous. That's the sooner we find peace, and the sooner you start to enjoy the destination, which is you're loved, he's patient with you and kind. I want you to get that. Please get that. when you feel angry, ask Jesus to save you. I'm going to make it as simple as possible because I care for you. When you're scared, when you're angry, literally just say this, Jesus, save me. That's what this whole thing is. He does. Jesus, save me from imaginary conversations with liberals or with conservatives where, save me from that imaginary conversation which is of no use and will never happen because no one's honest. Don't even worry. No one cares what you think. We're all selfish. God, deliver me from wasting time being angry. Look, ask him to deliver you. That's the path. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Deliver us, we pray, from the evil one. Deliver us from the world which demands us to prove everything. Deliver us into a world where you say, you're my son, you're my daughter with whom I'm well pleased, before we do anything. Deliver us from the flesh, which is always drawing us to worship things that are created and to figure things out, into a life of the Spirit that overwhelms the flesh, where we worship God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit for everything. Deliver us from Satan, who says he's on the throne and he rules things, but Christ, you have overwhelmed him. You've kicked him out. And now you sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding for us. Lord, deliver us from the accusations into the announcements of your love for us and your peace and your promises for ourselves, for your joy, and for the blessing of our neighbors. Deliver us today, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, if you want to do one thing in 2020, that's good. We want to reclaim the year instead of just letting the world say, worst year ever. One way we can reclaim it is by memorizing some of these things and make it the year you memorized 1 Corinthians 13. Make it the year you memorized Colossians 3. Make it the year you memorized Titus. Take control. We're the victors. Christ owns 2020. I don't care what all hell's breaking loose. Take it back. Hide the word of God in your heart. So at the end of it, you're like, you're memorizing a psalm. You're memorizing something. So when all the freaked out waves come on you, you're like, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I've memorized a bunch of psalms. I'm telling you, this year I've memorized two huge psalms. Not because I'm great or anything, because I needed to survive. And now I feel blessed. So I'm looking back at 2020 going, that is the year I memorized a bunch of psalms, and I'm not ashamed of that. Because we'll look back at pictures and be ashamed. We're like, oh, we were so stupid. And oh, we wore bell bottoms. Look at my hair. That's what we'll think about. Instead, let's look back and go, man, the word of God took root in my heart that year. And now I know it doesn't matter what happens out there, nothing can separate me from the love of God. We could all be hiding in here because the world's going crazy and loving Jesus more than we all have money and we're all fine and happy and none of us love Jesus. It doesn't matter. We need Christ with us in a lot or in a little. And Christ is with us now, so let's store it up in our hearts. Okay, sorry, I want to preach again. Because I don't know if I'll ever see you again after this week. It's scary. We don't know. I had to stock up on beer this week. Well, you are the people who confess Christ. So let's confess what we believe. God has allowed us to hear it. We're hiding it in our hearts, and then we confess it with our mouths. Let's do the Nicene Creed. It's the longer one that breaks down the nature of Christ, which is very important. It's on page C. And again, it's the same question. It's just a little bit after the Apostles' Creed. The question is, what is it you believe, Christian? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. All right. You confessed it. You have a lifetime to figure out what you just signed up for. I did want to take this time. The flow is thanksgiving to God, praise to God, and then our petitions. We pray to him. And I know there's many prayer requests, so please fill them out again. And we pray for them, and this is a rhythm of your life where you're making your requests made known to God. That's a humbling position, a position of need, and that's the right position. And so I just want to, they call it the congregational prayers, a time to pray for people going on, for what's going on. And I know we have several requests. I pretty much, all the requests you guys tell me, and I have in my heart, and I pray almost daily for those. So without taking 30 minutes to pray for them all now, just know that they're being prayed for. And we'll pray for the big ones. I know that Natalie and Kevin, it's Natalie's grandma, just passed away. He let us know. She'd been fighting. I think, she'd been fighting with a lot of health issues, but passed away last night. So pray for them and their family. We continue to pray for people's health. Praise God. I don't know how we've all made it so far. Let's just acknowledge God's protected us from the sickness, because there's no, you didn't do anything right. All right, you did it all wrong. I'll just break that to you. I've done it all wrong. You've done it all wrong, because no one knew how to do it. And somehow we're not sick. We should be. Praise God we're not. It's a gift. That's it. But we pray for continued health, and we pray for the health of our country. Let's just pray for a smooth whatever it is this week. I pray my guy wins. I'm going to pray that. I'm going to pray a lot. I'm not going to tell you who my guy is, but I'm going to pray. So I suggest you pray for your guy too, if you want him to win. So that's how it goes. Whoever prays harder wins.
That sounds like it works.
I mean, prove me wrong. The prayers of effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Yeah, I'm taking all week to pray. And I've registered all my dead relatives to vote, but that's beside the point. That's the oldest trick in the book. The resurrection of the dead. But we pray for that. And I just pray for, always be praying no matter who wins or what. Pray for good government. Good government is a blessing to everybody. So you pray for that. And pray for your neighbors, and pray for the people you know. Pray for health, and pray for peace, and that all this stuff wouldn't steal what God's given us. We can still love each other, even if we have difference of opinion. We ought to. We ought to love each other, especially when we know the other person's wrong. I mean, how else could we stay married? Right? So, my wife is rarely correct, yet I love her so much. See what she has to live with? So we'll pray. And let's just lift up everything real quick. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Thank you that you, well, we worship you. The Lamb who was slain. You died. You fought the battle. You are our King. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. And so we put all our hope in you. But Lord, as we live here, we pray for one another. I pray that you would heal the broken hearts in Natalie's family as they have experienced loss and death. Walk with them through grief because it's not right. Give them hope in due time. Restore their hope and their joy that you will see Grandma again. But right now, Lord, walk with them. Heal our bodies, Lord. We thank you for our health. We know it's any moment, any time, anything. It doesn't just have to be COVID. It can be anything, Lord. Yet you hold our bodies together. We thank you and ask for more. Please give us health. Lord, please draw our hearts to one another that we wouldn't fall into just dividing and hating and just trying to justify ourselves and our sides all the time, that we can just rest that you justify. And we get to be your kids. You are our security. You give us our purpose and meaning to love. Lord, I pray for your healing and your love and your grace over everyone in this room right now. Holy Spirit, take away the spirit of being orphans as if we're all alone, and fill us with the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, hear our prayers. Save us from anxiety. Save us from anger. Save us from fear. Save us from wasting time thinking about the past or thinking about the future. You're already in those places, and you're with us right now. May you calm our minds and our hearts that we can sit with you in your presence full of peace for this moment. You have protected us. You have allowed us to worship you. And we don't take that for granted. We thank you for it and praise your name. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Sorry, Mario's about to come in. It's just so cute. Let's, as we prepare our hearts to take the Lord's Supper, I always forget to do this, but if you can give and support the work, you're basically supporting Christ's campaign on earth as it is in heaven when you give to the church. And so it's a way of worshiping and thanking God. And as the kids come in, especially these little kids, they're going to be learning. And all the other kids know the Lord's Prayer. So I want to say that. I want to be the adults. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and the kids can do it if they know it, or they're going to learn to hear it. So as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's pray the prayer he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So we pray before our meal. Jesus says on the night that he's being betrayed, he's not defending himself. He's not trying to prove anything. He's like, yeah, I'm going to die for this. This is my body, which is broken. I'm breaking it and giving it to you. That's the key in what Jesus says. It's for you. In the same way, he takes the cup. He says, this wine on the outside, grape juice in the middle, is my blood. I'm dying. I'm not shedding the blood of your sons and daughters. I'm shedding the blood of the Son of God for you. I'm being what you can't be for you, so you can be it. I'm doing it. Pours it out. Said, this is forgiveness. It's a new covenant of forgiveness for you. So as we take it, you pray and you say, Lord, I want this. And this is just supposed to be a time where you realize you're part of the body of Christ on earth. The church is the body of Christ. You make up this, but we are gathered to his body. He's called us, and he says, I'm clothing you. You're not hidden in the bushes anymore, naked and ashamed. I've clothed you with my death and my resurrection so that you know you have fellowship with me and the rest of the church. So be comforted. It's true. Father, we thank you that these are just wafers and wine and grape juice, but your word makes it something else. Just like your word to us makes us something else. We were sinners and now we're saints. Thank you. We thank you for your death, your resurrection, and the resurrection of all things one day, because we are a part of you and we have received all your good gifts. So we receive this now. We receive your forgiveness and incorporation into your body by faith, thanking you and praising you. Feed us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. The night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, broke it, and he gave it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat of it." In the same way, he took the cup, having blessed it, he said, "This is my blood shed for you. Take and drink of it." Father, we thank you. You found a way to incorporate us into you legitimately as your children and heirs. I pray that your peace would overwhelm all of our flesh, that we might trust and believe that we are the children of God. You have a plan for love, a plan led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's sing to God. It pleases him to see his kids fed, happy, together. And so let's worship. Woo. Hope you felt something there. Some good words. If not, wake up. Amen. Whew. Well, you can be seated for a second. Got to compose myself. Just the thought of knowing your Savior by the marks on his skin. Let that sink in. No one else is bearing the marks for you. Don't look to me, too. I'll be the first to run. I'll be like, "Joe, did you get out of there?" And I love you. But Christ, he bears those marks, man. Settle into that. Oh, man, I want to preach it again. We might need to do this every day this week. If you want to, come. I can read any passage and talk. It's my specialty. Receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.